And thankful to the Lord for his kindness.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. That he would use filthy vessel.
Yeah.
Clean it up and use it.
Yes, Lord.
I'm always thankful for him letting me participate with it.
Amen.
In this great work of redemption.
Yeah.
To our president, Dr. Max A. Miller, and our chairman of the Institute, chairman of the pulpit, amen, Pastor Giddens, chairman of the Institute, Pastor Parker, and amen to our teammate, amen, Dr. F.N. William Jr.
Amen.
I want to make mention of him. I don't know why I can't just sit back and listen to him. Amen, and certainly to his dad.
Yeah.
All right. Amen. Our sage. Amen. And Pastor Dixon. Amen.
Yeah.
Thank God. Thank God for that word. President asked me some time ago to talk on the issue of two questions. What do you do when the Lord changes your message? And then the second was, what about when you just run out of time? And I've entitled this sermon prep anomalies. That's what I want to talk about next few times I stand before you. Sermon prep anomalies. If you've been a pastor for any length of time, you know by now that sometimes Sunday morning intentions just don't go as planned. What you intended for a sermon is not going to be your sermon this morning. I mean by that, either the Lord has changed your message, or your sermon preparation time has been crowded out by other issues. You've been to the hospital 4 times this week. Somebody know what I'm talking about. Huh? Three folk died in the church, and you got a funeral. Your time is just tapped out. And Lord knows our wife think our time is on their time. Our wives at their disposal. Y'all know how that go. These are anomalies. Anomalies. An anomaly is something that deviates from what is standard, what is normal, what is expected. It is an abnormality. It is an irregularity. Let me say this now. I wanna say this here. If the Lord always is changing your message, then he's not changing your message, but he's arresting your attention. Because your attention is obviously somewhere else. You need more consecration. You need to pray more. And likewise, if life is crowding out your sermon every week or frequently, then you need to rearrange some stuff. Or just quit and go be a politician and, you know, a sportscaster, playboy, whatever you got your time. But God's business requires, this sermonic business, preaching to God's people requires seriousness. It requires solitude. It requires sobriety. And it requires sweat. You have to labor over God's word. And that's important. That's important because nothing that I'm going to tell you as a tip or a trick, nothing I'm going to tell you is not the result of past labor. A past labor. You know, the Holy Ghost will bring things back to your memory. But you have to have some stuff in you for the Holy Ghost to bring up. Let's look, let's deal here with when the Lord changes your message, because that's the easiest.
Yeah.
Preach what he's given you.
Yeah. Come on now.
That's all.
Come on now.
really don't have a whole lot more to say. If the Lord changed your message, then just preach. Woe unto you if you do something else. Now, I have some stuff. I put some stuff here that I normally would just kind of keep. I have some stuff on my pad here. It's green. That means you don't have it. If it's green on here, you don't have it. But I had this green. I blacked it out because the Lord say, leave that there. Leave that there. And so you have this. Now, that's sometimes easier. Just preach what he tells you preach. But sometimes that's easier said than done. Because in my humble experience, sometimes that means God has decided to preach to you while you preaching to them. You have anybody that's ever been there? Yeah. Remember, you need a sermon every week just like they do. And when God changes your message, sometimes prep time and preaching time become one. Yeah, become one. God is preaching to you in real time instead of prep time. And when God speaks, whatever you prepared before doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. If there's something urgent that God sees and that you may not see. That you may not see. God is going to block it. God is going to fix it. God is going to convince that person or convict that person and perhaps convert that person. There's something you need to happen. That deacon might put his motel money on the offering table. There can never be a better sermon preached than the one God is telling you to preach. There can never be a better sermon preached than when God and what God is telling you to preach. And we ought to always stay sensitive to the Spirit of God. If he leads you not to whoop, don't whoop. If he leads you not to holler, don't holler. Sometimes the folk ought to leave church cerebrally, solemnly, thinking instead of celebratory. Give them something to think about. See, we feel like if we don't shout them, they'll leave. Well, sometimes if you stop shouting them so much, Geno Jennings won't be walking off with your folk. I'm talking about lying Geno Jennings. You, for all y'all folks, some folk in here looking at him, talking about he be saying some stuff. He a liar. On the way to hell, by the way. Let me turn. When to win now, your study prep routine has been crowded out. I love it when these young first-time pastors feel the weight of having to have a fresh sermon every Sunday. And then add to that the disruptive week. Where your time, you find out in a hurry that there's only so many hours in a week. Now, let me, just a piece of wisdom here. One way that I deal with that, and I know many of you do it the same way because I probably learned it from you. When I wake up sometime early in the morning, and I have to go somewhere, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning, I see some pastor cars at the church. One way of dealing with the time issue, to minimize it, now you won't always, you know, but to minimize it, is that your sermon prep time be early. Be early in the morning. Something about early in the morning. This Bible keep on saying that. It rolls up, early. Early in the morning. But what are some tips? I'm not going to get to the rest of this, but what are some tips and shortcuts that can, watch this, prayerfully.
Bring it back. Bring it back. Where have you been? Bring it back.
I got to get the rest of this. I got to come back.
Amen.
Well, let's say amen.
Amen.
I want to begin by expressing my deep appreciation to our president for his vision and for sharing his vision about this institute with various chairmen. Thank you so much, and officers. I'm glad to be amongst you. I'm glad to be here. I've tried to absorb what I've absorbed. So I want to express my appreciation to the leadership of our committee's devotional chairman and our institute chairman as well, Parker, and to all of those who are on the program today in terms of our church growth and our sermon prep. I get here early because I don't want to miss those.
All right.
I'm still trying to practice preaching.
Amen.
So I want to get here so I can get that. I certainly want to come back next week so I can get those tips. After 40 years of trying to pastor, I still need those handouts. Thank you so much. I want to salute our sage, Dr. F.N. Williams. As well, and the team that the president has assembled here for all of the topics for the day. Now, my topic is very simple. The president could have read my mind because this is one of my babies.
I know you're right.
All right.
And protocols.
Yeah.
And I brought a little handout. And if you have it, I want to kind of give you. This is kind of an introduction to these next few weeks that he's assigned this to my hand. Ephesians chapter number 4. I want to begin there. With a word out of the, kind of use it as a jumping off point. Ephesians chapter chapter 4, you know the verse, and between verse 11 through 16, I believe.
Yes,
Ephesians chapter 8. I want to, as soon as I can find it, and then I want to remind everybody that there is nothing new under the sun.
Come on.
There's nothing original but the original sin.
That's it.
So we learn from each other.
That's right. That's a fact.
And so I want to thank the Lord for those pastors who fed me and who impacted my ministry, as they say, down through the years.
I
very quickly came up under some old pastors, older pastors.
Yeah.
I think the youngest one on my committee for ordination was 70.
Yeah.
And, it went up higher than that.
Yeah,
and
right.
So they invested some time with me. Because I had just gotten called to my church. They didn't ordain me until I got called. That was an old school principle. If you didn't have anything to do, then there was nothing for you to do. Wait until you got something.
Yep.
And maybe there is some theology in that that we need to consider. But I want to look at the handout real quick and have your underlines.